Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Tuesday, March the 19th, 2024. Live radio show for the next hour and 24 and a half minutes. We'll be here. And the panel today are the regulars. Tim Wildman, that's me. Ed Battagliano.
Good morning. I'm just regular Ed.
It's regular Ed. So we got half a brain right there.
Four. Oh, man.
We got Wesley Wildman, who makes three quarters of a brain.
That's right. Good morning. And unfortunately for our radio host, there will be no break today because there are no guests.
No guests?
We apologize. So you do get of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of the time.
It's us or nothing.
There
ain't no guests, people.
No.
How you like that English, Ed?
I love
it. We're off to a good start.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
I just got a red pen out.
Hey, if it wasn't for the word ain't, we wouldn't have half the songs.
No, that's true.
That's true.
Ain't.
That's
fair. Nobody sings a song and go, is not.
No, you're not going to get that.
That's not going to be. That's not.
Can you imagine? Fred Jackson makes up the last quarter of our brain here.
That's right. I just listened to your wisdom.
I just sit there and listen. That's right.
You know, they didn't sing the song, there's not a mountain high enough.
There is no mountain high enough.
You got to say, ain't no mountain high enough.
That's right.
So, all right. Welcome to the program. We'd ask your prayers for our brother, Steve Paisley Jordahl. He's going to be out for a few days, right, Fred?
Next couple of weeks, recovering from some knee surgery this morning.
Well, old football injury.
We didn't violate any HIPAA laws there, did we, Fred?
We didn't. Fred did.
Fred did. No, Steve mentioned it on the radio.
Yes.
But he is having knee surgery, so knee some parts of the knee.
That's my understanding. Yes.
Yeah.
Steve told me that some titanium they put in there on the bottom of the femur.
Sure.
To improve the movement of the joints in the knee.
Yeah,
and that's as far as I'm going to go.
Yeah. Well, you got to melt it down first, titanium, and then you got to put it on the right side.
As long as when they get done with the surgery, they don't have like parts left over.
That's
like
right.
When someone works on a car.
Oh, listen, dear.
We're supposed to put the screw. Where did the screw come from?
Hey, my wife, Allison, bless her heart, she had a total knee replacement. When was that? July of a year and a half ago. Anyway, whenever that was. And we went in. She had her knee. Went in there. The doctor said, you know, we're going to mark your knee. So they marked the knee that needed the knee replacement.
Yeah.
So they didn't do the wrong one.
Yes.
That doesn't instill a lot of confidence in you.
And don't think it's like a magic marker or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, just a Sharpie right out of the...
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
This one.
This one.
You'd rather them be overly...
I know.
Cautious,
but that just seems kind of primitive to me.
I do agree with that.
Let's mark this me with a Sharpie right here because we don't want to get the wrong one.
X marks the spot.
We don't want to get the wrong one. But anyway, well, we ask you to pray for Brother Steve because that knee replacement surgery, even though it may not be total, that's a hard thing to go through.
It is. It's quick. Steve's saying he plans to
sleep
in his own bed tonight.
But the recovery time is a few months, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Yep. For most people. Anyway, but you get a new knee and you get a new life, lease on life there.
Because, you know, he's been recently, since New Year's, occasionally been cooking for us in TI. I wonder if he's just doing this to get out of that. You think
cooking?
Yeah.
Steve, you've been bringing us stuff to the office?
Yeah, he's been bringing in some nice treats that he's been.
Yeah.
So is it really a knee? Can we confirm that?
No, look, you haven't been married as long as I. When you want to get out of cooking,
okay,
you do cook, but you just make it so bad that nobody ever wants to eat it, and nobody ever asks you again.
Okay.
Okay, so you want to file that away.
Right,
if you ever do some cooking, you just make it that
salty. You want the kids saying, Mommy, Daddy's spaghetti tastes funny.
Yeah.
that's what you want to hear right there, huh?
I do want to make I did recall this when we were talking about, you know, getting the right knee. So – to Wesley's point, I'd rather have him do that than this. An Austrian doctor who amputated a patient's wrong leg has been fined. A surgeon in Austria.
Fined? I think he should be executed.
Fined. Sued for amputating the wrong leg of a patient.
Oh, my word. That's terrible. Where did that happen?
It was the left. This is Austria. Mm. You know what? I don't want anyone in Europe making fun of the American medical system, right. All right?
Amen, yeah, Austin, don't Texas, do this kind
of, that's awful. I'm
just yes, Austria, Texas.
Wow.
He amputated the right leg of an elderly patient, even though the left leg was supposed to be amputated. Oh. That's from CBS News. Mm. So, wow. Yeah, okay, yeah, use the magic use marker.
Use the marker. All right. We have no guests today. So, but we have a lot of topics to cover. The news is a buzz. What's the first story, Fred?
Well, our first story is something that I think lots of people can relate to, because if you've been shopping at the big stores over the last several years, you may have used the convenience of the self-checkout.
That's not what I call it, but I'll wait for you to finish.
Big box stores like Walmart, smaller box stores like Dollar General and Target are easing back on the number of self-checkout machines. In particular, we are told Dollar General that they are pulling self-checkout stands entirely from 300 of its stores and 9,000 other locations. It's said to converting some of those self-checkout registers to regular cashier checkouts and limiting self-checkout purchases to 5 items or less in a further 4,500 stores. Now, why are they doing this? Well, the big reason is theft. There are some people, and the story from the Daily Mail goes to go on to say they've done some polling on this of customers, and it appears the younger you are, the more you lean towards not scanning that item, throwing it in the bag, and leaving the store.
Stealing.
Yes.
Otherwise known as.
Yeah.
Theft.
This was a news story. Again, I saw this last night, sent this to you guys. The retailers that are mentioned that are dialing back, they're scaling back, maybe they'll even drop it all together, Walmart, Target, and Dollar General. Right.
Those are the three that are mentioned.
Self-checkout. Are you surprised at this, Ed?
I'm surprised at the reason. Okay. Now, I've been upset about this since they started it.
Okay.
And my wife would always, you know, she doesn't really like me going shopping with her, okay, because I tend to complain. I know you guys are shocked.
Mm.
Okay. I tend to complain about certain things. And I would tell this, when we would go through, when this first started, I refused to use the self-checkout. Now, my wife liked it, but I refused to use it, and we would go through where there was a cashier. And I would tell the cashier almost every time, I know you didn't make this decision, but I don't like the self-checkout. I think they should give people jobs to do this and not, you know, ruin people's lives. And, you know, and so I would...
That's very Bernie Sanders of you.
Well, I said, why aren't they hiring people to do this? And, you know, I don't get paid to check out. I mean, I've seen memes on Facebook. When are they going to start making us unload the truck, too, you know, and start stocking the shelves? Okay, that's Walmart's job to get the, you know. Anyway, so I thought maybe they would back off of this for those kinds of reasons, but that's not the reason. It's because of theft. Now, the story I read when I think Tim sent this around, it said that 15%, just generally speaking, 15% of customers admitted to purposefully stealing.
Yes.
Okay, I'm not going to scan it.
That's pretty shocking, 15%.
15%, but it got even more shocking, okay, because the Gen Z respondents in the survey, 31%. Millennials was 21%. Gen Z, the youngest, 31%. One out of every three admitted to stealing.
And Gen Z is from 12 years old to 27.
Yeah. So this is all because they are losing billions to theft.
Yeah.
Wesley?
When they first started doing this, that is self-checkout, I that's one of the first questions we all asked. Like, how are they going to avoid, how are we going to keep people from stealing?
Yeah.
Right? Well, they found some solutions over the years. They added the camera.
Right.
They've also, they have someone standing up there most of the time now. So they've added some features to help prevent that. But ultimately, apparently they're still being able to slip a couple items in, which adds up over time.
Right.
What I want to know, and I cannot find it in the article that we're looking at, and of course it goes 100% against PC and profiling and everything. I want to know which stores are the locations of the stores are shutting down the self checkout. Is it in Chicago?
They don't mention that.
I'd just be curious, and maybe there's no connection there. Maybe I'm just over speculating here, but it would be interesting if they go, well, these stores are having more theft than these stores, and these locate and where they're located. Therefore, we're going to shut down the self checkout here, but we're going to leave it here. And I'm just saying, if you're selectively picking stores, then apparently some areas are more honest than others.
Well, and that I hadn't thought about that angle, but that would make sense, because in a lot of these major cities, prosecutors won't prosecute people for stealing. Mm-hmm. In San Francisco, it was up to $1,000.
I just want to know.
So there were some people who were just outright bagging stuff and walking out.
Yes.
This might explain that in some big cities, people were going, well, you can't get in trouble for it if you get caught, so I'm doing it.
First, a couple thoughts on that. I'm with you, Brother Ed, on I didn't like that whole idea of self checkout.
Right.
And usually I would come to that place where I'm looking at the six at Walmart or Kroger.
Yeah.
Because Kroger does this too. I would, you know, get my stuff and then would walk up to that self-checkout area.
Yeah.
And I would start sweating like like profusely, because and I was intimidated by the whole idea of what I was about to try to do, especially if I did. Hey, Allison, she could do it, you know, and I'd just sit there and help whatever she told me.
Yeah.
But if I had to go by myself and I see a line over here for the cashier, which they put one up there, which is wrong.
Yeah. Huh?
It's wrong to put one up there. You need to put two up
there.
They're
trying to funnel you to the self-checkout.
To the self-checkout, which now they're closing.
Yeah.
Because people are stealing them blind. So the whole idea. But also, on a practical level, if you go to the self-checkout, and maybe I'm saying something people are going to laugh at, and you have a basket of groceries, and I always found that once I get to about six or seven big things, there's no more space left.
That's exactly there's right.
No, yes. Huh? Yes. On that thing.
Yeah,
that,
you can't put it anywhere.
In that area.
And okay.
So is there maybe
no, you're
there's
right. No, you're right. Okay. And furthermore, with that, what I get more frustrated at, because I've conceded that this is the way it is.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I get more frustrated that when you do go to scan, when you have too many items that won't go in the bagging area.
Right.
That's how you put it in the bagging area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they have to have somebody come over there to approve that you're moving the bag out.
It just, yes.
And then if you go to scan, like, a fruit and you don't get it right, you get the wrong fruit. There's on average will come over there at least twice, sometimes three times.
You mean the person who's
that's correct.
Designated?
The designated clerk to approve my items. It's like, come
I
on.
Know, yeah. I know. That's just put everybody back at the checkout stand.
Yes.
Who know
what they're doing?
Yeah.
And there's plenty of space for you to put all your stuff.
Yeah.
Listen.
Okay. So anyway. That has nothing to do with
that. If that makes me Bernie Sanders, then I'm gonna mess up my hair and be Bernie.
Yeah. I like your idea of what's Walmart gonna do next, ask us to unload the trucks.
That is funny.
And then we tip ourselves.
We stock the shelves. Okay. Where's my Christmas bonus?
There's one other aspect for the Dollar General thing. Real quick, Fred, and then we can bring you back on the show. and that is my daughter Riley, when she was in high school, she worked at a Dollar General for a couple of years. So, and she was, if I can remember correctly, she was sometimes by herself.
Mm.
Yeah, those stores are pretty.
There may be one other person there. Now, this was this store was in a safe location, and she never had a problem. But I often thought to myself, if you've just got one person in there, and you locate maybe in a bad part of town or something, I don't know. I'm just thinking you're very vulnerable to a robbery and or a certainly theft. Because you don't want the cashiers or the person working there to confront a shoplifter.
Right.
And, you know, chase them out in the parking lot or something like that, because all kind of things could happen.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it just always struck me as a little, as I said, the word vulnerable for the employees when you only have one or two.
And I'm a grown man. I'm not chasing someone out in the parking lot for over a can of Pringles.
No, I know.
Get it.
I know.
Bag of Cheez-Its.
So what these stores are doing now, they're saying we're going to shut down. Right, Fred? We're going to shut down the self-checkout.
Limit it. Like six items or less.
Yeah.
The other thing was, I'd be interested in your comments. Why is it the Gen Zers more comfortable than any other age group about stealing?
Now, that's under millennials. So Gen Zers, for those who don't know, get lost in all the...
Yes.
Descriptions of the ages of people. That's the ones that are under the millennials, like
12 to 27 is Gen Z.
And then 28 to 40 or 43.
So the Gen Zs are the main culprits here.
According to this story.
Well, millennials are 21%, but that's not good.
No.
But Gen Z's 31%.
So
admitted.
We have a generation, a young generation coming up that is apparently more comfortable with stealing?
I think they're more comfortable with rationalizing their stealing.
Okay.
Kind of like what we're saying, you know, well, the government does it or corporations do it and I can't make ends meet and I've got these big college loans. Probably a sense of entitlement.
This is just a quick thought. I don't necessarily, at first, I'm not surprised by the number of people that still the younger you get. However, the more shocking thing for me is that they admitted to it in the sense of not having a problem with it. Usually the people that steal, if you steal and you try to hide it, you have some sense of that was wrong.
Right.
I shouldn't have done it.
Right.
You're trying to hide it. But if you openly admit it, you're almost saying you don't think by definition there's anything wrong with it.
That's why I say they're rationalizing.
They're
treating these stores like they're welfare pantries.
Sure.
Yeah.
And they've grown up on a lot, you know.
Yeah. But anyway, the more and more stores are probably going to go to this. They're going to funnel people back over.
Speaking about that, we need to shut our self-checkout in down, too.
We have us.
I'm no, we
with
don't.
Our scanning.
That's right. I'm kidding. We don't have
we our, don't steal anything.
No.
our check-in here at the office. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Fred.
All right, yesterday at the United States Supreme Court, representatives of Louisiana, Missouri, brought a case to the United States Supreme Court dealing with what they say is that the federal government is putting pressure on social media to curb conservative points of view. Examples were given during COVID-19, what could be said, any criticism of the government, masks, you know, what treatments,
misinformation,
et cetera, et cetera. Well, I want to play you a little montage, as we call it, of various justices on the Supreme Court. And a lot of people are finding it a little shocking that it appears from their comments yesterday that maybe they don't have a big problem with the federal government applying pressure to social media to quash certain points of view. Cut number one.
That the government actually has a duty to take steps to protect the citizens of this country.
You can't just sort of pick and choose which part of the government you're concerned about.
Encouragement would sweep in an awful lot.
What do you do with the fact that the platforms say no all the time to the government?
Now,
who is that?
That were various justices.
Okay.
All right. Now, in the courtroom yesterday was Governor Jeff Landry of Louisiana, And I think he was quite taken aback by what he was listening to. Cut number three.
Well, what the justices seem to not grip is that the federal government, all the agencies and the White House, they have an X account. They have a Facebook account. They've got public service advisories that they can go out and they can talk to the American people. In fact, they could also talk to the social platforms and say, look, why don't you amplify this message? Because we believe that there's content on your platforms that Americans are getting wrong. But yet the justices seems to not grip the fact that the government doesn't have the ability to balance that message. And they forget that many Americans distrust the government because of exactly that.
One particular remark from Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. She is the one that Biden has put on the Supreme Court.
She's the one that doesn't know what a woman is.
Yes.
She's not a biologist. Oh, yeah,
she's not a biologist.
Asked during her hearing.
Yes.
She's a woman, but she doesn't know what one is.
Yes.
That's what she said, right?
Well, here's what she said yesterday with regards to this case. Quote, your view, speaking to the lawyers for Louisiana, Missouri, your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the federal government in significant ways in the most important time periods. The government, she said, actually has a duty to take steps to protect the citizens of this country by encouraging or even pressuring platforms to take down harmful information, end quote.
That's scary.
Yes.
That's scary because now, when the Supreme Court hears a case, the justices will pepper both sides with questions and they'll challenge their presuppositions. And you said this. And so you can't always glean from those exchanges what the justice might actually decide when it's time to vote. Okay. But her statement there, that wasn't a question.
No,
that wasn't rhetorical. She seems to think that the government has a responsibility and is justified in stopping misinformation.
What the government considers.
And the First Amendment puts the government at a disadvantage in the information wars. And I'm thinking, that's what the First Amendment is supposed to do. She apparently doesn't understand that the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, were required by many of the states before they would ratify the Constitution because they did not want a federal government with overwhelming power. The Bill of Rights are all written to limit the power of the federal government in precisely the way that Ketanji Brown Jackson is bemoaning.
Yeah.
She thinks the federal government should be without restrictions.
A la China.
Yes, that's frightening.
She was Biden's appointee from, 2 years ago or something like that, a year and a half ago or so?
You can clip Ed up right there. That's a bingo, as Dad would say. I couldn't have said any better.
That's right. Bernie Sanders wins one.
Hey, we're looking for a 30-second clip to play. That's it. Hey, seriously, yeah, that's exactly right. You know, with what she's saying, I get equally as frustrated as anybody when you hear somebody lie or say something that's untruthful or they're mischaracterizing or they say something that's not completely accurate, gives incomplete. But at the end of the day, the whole point of the First Amendment is that we're able to say what we believe is true and let other people determine how they whether they believe that's true or not. Not for the government to get involved in deciding that much. It's one thing for them to put out a statement, whatever they believe, but to tell another company what's true and what's not true is just totally anti-First Amendment.
The only reason I would say the federal government should have a role in speech is if we're in a national emergency situation. We're being attacked by a foreign enemy or, you know, something of that nature. That would only be for a short period of time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But otherwise, stay out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Stay out of it. But we'll talk more about this when we get back. Stay with us.
According to a recent study of hundreds of post-abortive women, 60% of women reported that they would have preferred to give birth if they had received more support from others or had more financial security. And that's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is there for women in their darkest hour, deciding between the life and death of their precious child. You see, the reality is women are being pressured to make this fatal decision and are being told that their babies are just a clump of cells. Preborn welcomes women with God's love and introduces them to the beautiful life growing inside of them, which doubles their baby's chance at life. When you support Preborn, you not only support women, you empower them. Your donation of $28 will help a woman to make a choice that she won't have to regret for the rest of her life and gives her the ultimate blessing, life. Your love can save a life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred. We're not going to give last names again because it takes too long. Okay, so you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Before we leave this topic, what Fred was talking about earlier, there was a court case before the United States Supreme Court yesterday, which the decision won't be announced until June, but it was a very important case because what's the essence of it, Fred?
Well, the essence of it is the federal government have the right to tell these social media platforms, hey, we don't like the opinion of person A over there, let's say about masks. Are they necessary to wear? We don't like that opinion. Take that down.
Okay.
It's about government control over what messages, what opinions get out there. The government, the federal government is saying in this, we have a right. We have a right to quash anybody who disagrees with us. This is where this would take us if the Supreme Court rules in favor of the federal government in this case.
Right.
Yeah. I haven't thought this completely through on every different example or scenario that people would offer as to why this would be acceptable. I did mention that is the federal government taking over for a time period. If we're under a national emergency, you know, nukes are coming at us from Russia or China, whatever. I mean, that's an emergency. But what they did with this COVID response for the federal government, they took over they stretched the emergency into a year or longer, if you remember. And I think, and then we'll wind up this topic because I have
one small point.
Because this topic gets us wound up.
Yes.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
We'll wind up the topic because this topic gets us wound up.
Yep.
That's a country song, actually. Years ago, if you remember. Okay, so here's the thing. Is that this is what we're discussing. Back during the COVID, and people were getting treated, vaccines, no vaccines, masks, no masks. Some people were discovering that ivermectin, the drug, was working. I personally know one person who was in the hospital who, if had they not had ivermectin, would have died.
That's right.
Okay. I'm not a doctor, but I can tell you that turned their whole situation around.
Yep.
You guys know this person,
yes,
too.
Yes.
So, but anyway, I don't know if ivermectin is something that would have worked universally for everybody. I don't know. Everybody's different.
Does it harm anybody?
But okay. The point was that if you were recommending or saying, even saying, you might look into using ivermectin as a treatment for COVID, then these people, by these people, I mean the experts, the CDC, the federal government, the White House, whoever.
Parentheses, please.
Huh?
In parentheses, experts.
Expert, yes. Well, they would say, Tim Wildman said people should use ivermectin, which is like a snake oil. Okay, so shut him down. Don't even let him discuss this because he's harming people.
He's misleading people. This would be the justification for them,
right?
For them to say this. Now, what as I said, and we were off the air. I was here off the radio when we were on break, and I said, when you have a free and open society and you have the First Amendment, I can say ivermectin. I should be able to say ivermectin all day, every day. And absolutely. People can do their own homework and their own research.
Doctors give their opinions on different stuff all the time.
Right. But they have these people have the idea of shutting you down.
Right.
They want to shut you down if you suggest something like that. Go ahead.
I'll just make this point, and then we can move on. I don't want to move on.
Okay, all right.
I have one more.
All right,
20 more minutes.
So let me just say this just quickly. The further we move away from federalism and the constitutional separation of powers, the more we get ourselves into trouble with running up against the administrative state. Okay, by that I mean the executive branch and all these alphabet agencies. All right, the Constitution says, I'm paraphrasing here, if you want to restrict speech, okay, Congress has to pass a law that does not infringe upon the First Amendment. Congress passes the law, all right? What we're running into is the executive branch, who is supposed to only be empowered to execute laws mm-hmm. that Congress has written.
Yes.
They carry it out. They execute. That's the executive branch. Mm-hmm. But with all these alphabet agencies, you have the CDC. Mm-hmm. Congress doesn't pass laws about masks or about what kind of drug cocktail you're supposed to use to combat this virus, okay, COVID-19. The CDC is passing regulations. And then the federal government, and then the executive branch, instead of executing the laws Congress makes, they make their own laws.
Yes.
And then tell everybody to follow them.
Yeah. Just a word of warning. The next issue, we've been talking about COVID.
Right.
The next issue is coming is climate change. The World Meteorological Association, I think they're based in Geneva, issued what they call this morning a red alert. The planet is burning up. They say 2023 was the worst year for high temps, and now they're saying 2024. I believe, you know, if the Lord tarries, that the next big thing is going to be climate change. You better not disagree with us.
Or we'll shut you down. Or fine you and imprison you.
Yeah.
And the Biden administration's all in.
Yeah. It's coming, folks.
In the name of...
Saving the planet.
Saving the planet.
Right.
It's going to come, and farmers are going to, there are farmers in Europe now are fighting this. I believe it's in Germany.
Oh, yeah, they're upset.
Draconian type rules. How many cows you can have.
Right.
How big is your garden? All of these things because you're jeopardizing the climate.
Right.
Yeah, and how come it's never about India or China? The top two polluters in the world. How come these climate activists, if they want to set their priorities in order, why don't they go over there and see how far their protests get? No.
Right.
It's all about some in Europe, Canada, but they want to control the U.S. economy. Why is that? The Marxist.
Yep.
Because we're standing in the way of the globalist dream of a one-world government.
Yes. Right. Yes.
We're too independent for our own good.
Yes.
That's true. And that's why they hate Israel, too, quite frankly.
Yep.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I agree with you, Fred. I think that's the next one that they're going to use. There's one reason why people are willing to give up freedom. Fear.
Yes.
People will trade. It's the nature of man. They will trade. They give up freedom and liberty in the name of safety and security.
Yeah.
We saw that in the COVID shutdowns and lockdowns.
That's right. So what you have to do, these people know this, by these people, these secular progressives, you have to scare people to death. And you tell people the planet's going to burn up. You're not going to.
In a compelling way. They're not, if they kept doing the way they're doing it, I'm not buying it. Most people aren't buying it, but there is a compelling way out there that they're strategizing. I'm guessing it's going to be very similar to the COVID lockdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And it will catch me off guard on how they do it. And I think it'll be the 3 months before we can explain it, you know?
Yeah.
But if that does happen, I just know for me and my house, I'm not doing it again. The lockdown personally.
You want to give your address?
Yes. And I did not, I did it for 3 weeks. Well, four, depending on about 4 or 5 weeks. I did it.
Good attitude though. Didn't you have a good attitude?
For the first 5 weeks I did.
First 5 weeks, you had a good attitude?
Yes.
But we didn't know anything at the time.
Yeah, we did. After that.
Time for the kids to go back to school.
Yeah, and I went in Dollar General, no mask. And when she followed me around Dollar General, tell me I need to wear a mask.
You
and
did.
I told her, I'm sorry, I'm not. If you want to call 911, everybody's free to do that.
Right.
But I'm not doing it. I'm not being forced to get a shot. I will do all the above if I so choose that I think that helps me out, but I'm not doing it because the government told me to do it, and everyone else is. A lot of other people feel that same way.
Right. Well, me and your mother, your mother and I spent a lot of years trying to teach you how to be rebellious. And it worked. Obviously, it worked.
There's a line in the sand for all men, and mine is: I will not be forced to wear something across my face in the name of.
Right.
So you know what? Just the last mic drop here. I told them, I reached a point where I told the lady in Dollar General, I said, look, if you think that a mask work, wear it. Because if you have yours on, then it doesn't matter if I've got mine on.
Right.
It was very quiet for about 30 seconds.
Right.
Processed it and thought, you know what? Makes sense.
Yeah.
use
a self-checkout.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, as we learned... Here's the thing, too, and a footnote to this whole story is if we remember COVID and we know now what's next on the horizon, listen, a lot of people did things during COVID that were irrational.
Sure.
Or they thought they were doing the right thing because
with what they had,
they were listening exclusively to the government's message, okay, exclusively. I'm not saying everybody at the government, the CDC, and everybody has ill motives. I don't say that. I'm saying... But this point of view that there's only one correct medical point of view in a fluid situation and a happening in real time response, and now you look back and you go, well, that was wrong, and that was wrong, but they told us to do that. No, that didn't work. Remember they were telling us, you get the COVID vaccine shot, you can't get COVID, and it can't give COVID. Remember that was
they won.
Biden was saying that.
Yes.
Some others. So the CDC, I can't remember if the CDC said that, but I think they did.
Yeah.
They initially.
Did.
Okay. Well, as we went along, as it turns out, that was not true. The COVID vaccine shot, while it may have helped some people, two primary things it did not do. It did not keep you from getting COVID. And it did not keep you from spreading it.
Right.
So
we need to remember this.
Yes.
Don't forget
you remember
this.
That. So are these people going back now and saying, hey, we were wrong. You know, we were wrong. And you remember, if you said what I said about you might want to not get the vaccine shot because there's a lot of risk and dangers involved in getting it, they would have said, I remember family, not my immediate family, but an extended family member.
Sure.
In our family, telling one of our other family members, so you think you know better than the experts?
Sure.
Talking about getting the COVID vaccine shot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember, it was an argument almost. It was like you.
Oh, it was a lot of division. A lot of COVID, the government and their messaging and how they handled COVID created an unnecessary amount of division amongst people, the church.
Yes, but they were telling people like us, you're the problem. You're spreading it
because
you won't get the vaccine.
Yeah. Right.
You won't get double masked. You know what I'm saying?
Can I make a prediction? Okay, I'm going to make a prediction here.
Go.
Okay.
Like for March Madness?
No, not that kind of prediction.
Oh, okay.
All right. So first let me say that something big is coming.
Yes.
All right.
The
civilization cannot continue on the path it's on. Something big's going to come. All right. It may be the return of the Lord. Okay.
A black swan event type thing?
No, I'm just going to set the groundwork before my prediction here.
Okay.
So something needs to come. Maybe it's the return of the Lord. We go all go to be with Jesus. I hope so. That would be fantastic. Okay. Or revival on an unprecedented scale is going to happen. Or the bad guys win temporarily, you know, and we go into a sort of a dark age. Okay. Like if Hitler had won.
A dark age ain't temporarily.
Well, no, I'm saying, you win at that for a while. In other words, if the Lord doesn't come back,
right,
God's not going to give us over to a permanent dark age. So let me say this, okay? As we look at this globalist dream to create a one world government, if it is not the time for that in terms of Antichrist coming or whatever, then obviously that is not going to be fruitful. So how does God break up the Tower of Babel when man tries to create this unified government in rebellion to God? God has all sorts of weapons to break those things up, okay? World War I ended the League of Nations. After World War II, we got the United Nations. If Jesus is not coming back, if we got another 100 years, another 200 years, God is going to break up this move towards one world government eventually. And my personal opinion is, and here's my prediction, it's going to be world war. I believe we are headed for another world war, and that is the way God is going to use, unless Jesus returns. Because it sure looks like what's happening around Israel, that kind of stuff is lining up.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but that's what I think. I think we are going to be facing another world war within our lifetimes. And that's what God's going to use to break up some of this insanity, because it can't continue without something big happening.
Well, but the interesting question on that, and I believe we're heading toward a globalist. I mean, that is the agenda.
You mean a one world type government?
Yes.
You think we're headed there?
Yes.
That's what they want.
Because Revelation talks about that. It talks about a controlling
world element. Yeah, for sure.
But I'd be interested in your scenario you just painted, Ed, another world war. Who are the good guys and who are the bad guys?
Well, I think...
Country-wise.
Yeah. I can't answer that because I used to say the U.S. is on the right side of everything, but I don't know under this administration whether we would back Israel. If it came to a war in the Middle East, okay. I don't want to go too far down that road. I just see the potential for war in East Asia, China and Taiwan, North Korea, South Korea, Iran and other nations against Israel. European war.
It's getting If you look around the globe, it's getting very tense in many areas.
Yes.
You mentioned the Ukraine Russian war has basically been confined to the Ukraine, but France is over there going, hey, we might just send troops in.
Yeah,
boots on the ground, even though Ukraine is not NATO.
Right.
But if Ukraine joins NATO, Vladimir Putin saying, hey, I got nuclear weapons for a reason.
Right.
I mean, that's what he's.
That's saber rattling.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something else. It would be easy to knock us out of getting involved. Just look at the potential for chaos in this country with all the people that have flooded into our country through the southern border. If there are Chinese nationals, there are. But if they are here to do harm, drug cartel members, terrorists, we could easily see a couple of years of chaos in this country while we tried to get control of our own nation, and that knocks us out of being involved anywhere.
Yep.
You have that. See, ladies and gentlemen, this is a day for happy news, isn't it? our happy news. One other thing to think about. Hate to stay on a negative trajectory here. But you can look at it two ways. It's maybe a negative trajectory, but the overarching theme that we want to communicate, obviously, is that God is in control.
Right. Amen.
And that God will have his will done ultimately.
Amen.
So, and it's up to everybody to yield and bend the knee to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
But on the world stage, there is a story coming that the Bible prophesies about that we're talking about here. But if you have war in the Middle East, so far it's been contained to Gaza, right?
Right.
And Israel. But you have Turkey that's been threatening to get involved. You have Iran, which is, I wish we could move Iran to Mars, you know, let them have their own planet. Huh? Their Ayatollahs could try to rule
right.
Mars. That would be, you know, but it's a powder keg. Is that the way?
Yeah.
They look in multiple hot spots around the world. So anyway, that's I don't know any. I was going to say something
but
else,
but I like what you said. God is in control. What I was trying to say is that if God wants to break things up, he has all sorts of weapons to do it.
Yes.
Okay. In the book of Revelation, those seals being broken open. Okay. Those are traditionally the weapons that God has used to level his enemies. And if that's what God wants to do, if it's not time for a one world government, he's going to break all that up.
And you know, America today, Americans, and I'm speaking broadly and generally here, we have become a people that are mockers and scoffers.
Right.
And that doesn't end well.
No.
If you look in the Bible, in the history of man, and how God's dealt with mockers and scoffers. Again, I'm talking about the general American public. Overall, there is a remnant of people who are following God and Jesus Christ right. in this country, and maybe that's the reason God's not taking us out yet.
Right.
You know, there's a...
That's also a biblical principle
there. But I'm just saying, whereas... we've all heard the expression God-fearing.
Right.
God-fearing. There's a history behind that.
Mm-hmm.
America was, again, broadly and generally, we were a God-fearing people.
That's right.
We didn't all have the same denomination. We didn't all whatever.
We connected the dots between obeying God equals blessing.
Yes.
Disobeying God equals
yes.
curse. And we would connect the dots.
Yeah, and the fear of God was taught in our schools, in our churches, in our homes.
Right.
And it was the same way in Canada.
Yep.
Same way in Canada,
right.
You growing up, Fred.
Mm-hmm.
God-fearing people.
Yep.
Church going for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And even if people didn't go to church, they had a respect for it and reverence for God. I remember J.J. Jasper telling me, you know, J.J.'s in his upper 60s now, or mid-60s, but he was telling me about his dad. And his dad was not a church-going man and wasn't a believer. But when J.J. wanted to mow the grass on Sunday afternoon, this would have been in the 60s, his dad said, "You're not doing that. You're not mowing. That's the Lord's day."
Right.
So even unbelievers
yeah.
back in had a reverence for the things of God. I'm just saying there was a reason we were called God-fearing people. You read Alex de Tocqueville. Go back and read Alex de Tocqueville, the French historian who came here in the, I think it was the late 1800s, or was it middle 1800s?
I think, yeah, it was early.
Is that, have I got that right?
I think it's in the, yeah.
Anyway, he came here, he traveled America, and he basically said America's greatness comes from its churches, and its fear of God. They really believe this. They go to church too
right.
much, basically.
Yeah.
He was a Frenchman, but he was saying what makes America different. So anyway, but if we've gone from being a God-fearing country to being a country that is
I like what you said,
mockers,
blaspheme,
mockers and scoffers,
filthy, depraved people. Okay, and listen,
shaking our fist at God.
Your point is exactly right about fearing God, but here's a little clue for us all. You can fear God the easy way, or you can fear God the hard way. Mm. And the easy way is to humble yourself before God and obey.
Yeah.
Okay. The hard way is for God to strike terror in your heart, okay, by bringing desolation and judgment upon a people. That's one way to make people bow.
And he doesn't.
Well.
God doesn't care whether we're Americans or
no,
not.
No, he doesn't.
Huh?
He'll deal with us the same way he's dealt with everyone.
No respecter of persons.
No, if he dealt with his chosen people, Israel, throughout the Old Testament, right, and all that, he dealt with them a certain way. You think he's given us a pass?
Right. I'm reading right now in the Bible about God sending the children of Israel into exile, into Babylon, to live under Nebuchadnezzar. Because you know why? They wouldn't repent of their sin.
Right.
That's right.
So, anyway, the biblical principle is unless we as a country turn back to the Lord God Almighty in massive numbers,
and it needs to come from those that are leaders who are in charge. It needs to start there,
folks. Let me just tell you something about life. You think you're at rock bottom, you may find out that rock bottom has a basement.
Yeah
We're not at rock bottom yet.
Yeah. So how are my stocks doing today, Fred? Can you check on my stocks? Because Ed's over here prophesying doom and gloom.
I like what you said. God is in control.
God is in control, we need to obey God.
Amen. And every day is an opportunity to serve him.
Amen. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.